Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Success and Empowerment Radio with Lisa Kay isn't your normal radio show. It's extraordinary, fun, educational, and inspiring. International business consultant Lisa Kay's unbridled curiosity and appetite for learning takes the value of personal and professional education to a new level. Combine a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand the unknown, and you have a recipe for a unique talent. Lisa Kay lives every day inspiring individuals to understand their true magnificence and live the life of their dreams. Her uncanny ability to ask the right question at the right time has helped her develop an international business consulting practice, launch a profound radio show in which she gets some of the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story, all while being a fantastic mother and mentor. Get ready for empowered success and to live the life you've always dreamed about. Now, here's your host, Lisa Kay.
Hey everyone, this is Lisa Kay and you're listening to Success and Empowerment Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience a wealth transformation. Each Tuesday on Success and Empowerment Radio, we have some of the wealthiest coaches, speakers, and authors educating, empowering, and inspiring your wealth consciousness. My special guest today is co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center, Barbara Lowe Fisher. Today, we'll be discussing Barbara's journey of self-empowerment and discovering her voice through the education and her creation of the National Vaccine Information Center. Barbara Lowe Fisher is the president of the National Vaccine Information Center, a nonprofit charity she co-founded with parents of DPT vaccine-injured children in 1982. For the past three decades, she's led a national grassroots movement and public information campaign to institute vaccine safety reforms and informed consent protections in the public health system. She has researched, analyzed, and publicly articulated the major issues involving the science, policy, law, ethics, and politics of vaccination to become one of the world's leading non-medical consumer advocacy experts on the subject of vaccinations. Let's welcome Barbara Lowe Fisher to Success and Empowerment Radio. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Lisa. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you. I just want to share with everybody how inspired I was when I first met you. We just recently did a radio show together where we were both invited to participate because I was recently in a situation with my own daughter and her HPV vaccination that's similar to the story that you went through over 30 years ago with your son and his DPT vaccination in 1980, which actually became the catalyst or the inspiration in you creating the nonprofit organization, the National Vaccine Information Center.
That's right. I when I heard your story, I was struck by the fact that, you know, this has been going on for decades, this issue of moms not being given the information they need prior to their children being vaccinated so that they can identify when their children are suffering what can be life-threatening vaccine reactions. And, you know, when I became a first-time mother in 1978, my son, I was a very well-educated woman. I had worked at a teaching hospital as a medical writer. My mother was a nurse. My grandmother was a nurse. My grandfather was a doctor. I came from a medical family, and I thought I was pretty well-educated about science and medicine. But I was clueless, had no information whatsoever about how to identify a vaccine reaction, or even knew that vaccines could carry risks. I thought vaccines were 100% effective and safe. I didn't think that anything would be given to my child that was not 100% safe and effective. I know that sounds strange, perhaps, but that's how, you know, back in the 1970s, parents had no information. I mean, today it's a much different situation. But parents had no information about vaccines or vaccine side effects. So, you know, my son had a very severe local reaction. It was a hard red hot lump that came up at the site of the injection and stayed there for weeks. And finally I called the doctor's office and explained, you know, I didn't understand why this lump was still there at the site of the injection. And the nurse said, oh, it was a bad lot of DPT vaccine. Don't worry about it. And I was so clueless that I said, should I bring him in for another one? Because I thought what she meant was maybe the vaccine was too weak or something had gone wrong. I didn't even know that it was something that could be a safety issue.
Yep, you were and more concerned about the fact that whether or not it worked as to whether or not it was creating a reaction.
Exactly. I just never, it never crossed my mind that there was a safety issue. Mm-hmm. And so when I took him in for his fourth DPT, and at that time they gave a DPT shot and oral polio vaccine, only two vaccinations. One was a combination diphtheria pertussis, also known as whooping cough, and tetanus vaccine, and an oral polio vaccine that they squirted in the mouth. Well, when he went for that fourth shot, he was 2.5, because he was a really precocious, advanced, healthy kid. I mean, he was the most precocious of my three babies. I have three children, and he was more advanced than the other two as a baby. He started saying words at 7 months. He was speaking in full sentences by the age of 2. I mean, he was really advanced. And so when he got that fourth DPT, what I didn't know at the time was he was coming off of a round of antibiotics. He had had this flu that he had got 3 weeks earlier. And back then, when you had the stomach flu, it didn't matter what you had. They prescribed antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Well, he was coming off a round of antibiotics, and he didn't have a fever. He seemed perfectly fine, but he had traces of diarrhea. Whether it was from the antibiotics or whether he still had something going on, I don't know. But he was not entirely well that day. And so when they gave him the shot, within hours of that shot, I witnessed a severe reaction to his DPT shot, but I didn't know what I was witnessing because I'd never been told anything by the doctor. And so I watched his eyes roll back in his head. He was sitting in a chair. It was very quiet in the house, and I saw his eyes roll back in his head, and his head fall to his shoulder as if he'd fallen asleep sitting up, and I couldn't wake him up. And so I picked him up, and he was like a dead weight. I laid him down in his bed, and he didn't move for hours, and I kept going and checking on him. And finally, I called my mom, who was a nurse, and I said, you know, this is really strange. He's really been sleeping a long time. And she goes, well, that's not normal. You need to go wake him up. Well, I went upstairs and tried to wake him up, and it was like so hard. He wasn't stirring, so I put his back on my chest, and I rocked back and forth and said, Chris, you know, finally he struggled awake. He couldn't walk. He couldn't sit up by himself. He was babbling incoherently. He was 2.5, so he was talking, obviously. And so I carried him in the bathroom. He had diarrhea. He fell asleep in my arms and went back to sleep for about 10 or 12 more hours. Now, when he woke up, in the succeeding days and weeks, he no longer could do what he could do before. He no longer could identify the words in the books that we were reading together every day. He regressed physically, mentally, and emotionally, basically. Became very sickly. He had constant ear infections, constant respiratory infections, diarrhea that would not quit, failed to thrive, lost weight. Cognitively, like I said, it was a really dramatic change. But even then, I didn't realize that what had happened to him that day.
That's what I was just going to ask you, is at what, did you, at that point, had you even started connecting it? Yeah.
I did not. I that day came and went. And he woke up in the woke up later that morning. But see, it was over the weeks and months that I realized he had changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And could no longer do what he could do before. I finally pulled him out of that pediatric practice. They kept telling me it was just all in my imagination, that this kids go through stages.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I took him to another doctor, and he took one look at him. He was very emaciated. And he said, and he looked at the diarrhea he had, he goes, you know what? I think he has, he might have cystic fibrosis. Well, I knew cystic fibrosis was fatal.
Wow.
And he said, or he could have celiac disease, which is, you know, this wheat allergy that can cause a constant diarrhea. Well, we took him to this major hospital. He got all the tests. He got the cystic fibrosis test. Everything came back normal. And they basically said that they didn't know what was wrong with him and that I should take him home and love him. like I hadn't loved him enough, right?
Right, right, yeah.
So it was like, it was really strange. And I was searching for ways to help him regain his physical health. We could not get him back to where he was before cognitively. And when I saw, it was about 18 months later, that I saw on television the show DPT Vaccine Roulette. And that was the first, it was an award-winning television documentary that was aired in the spring of 1982. And I stood there in my kitchen, and I could not believe what I was seeing.
I was going to just say, I can feel your reaction energetically right now. And I was thinking, you know, you probably stood there with your mouth open in shock of what you were hearing. Hold that thought. I want to continue this story, but we've got to take a quick break. So hold on. This is Lisa Kay with Success and Empowerment Radio. And when we come back, we'll continue this topic chatting with Barbara Lowe Fisher on the value of discovering your voice and empowering yourself through the education. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
International business consultant and mentor and host of the hit show Success and Empowerment, as she combines a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand and simplify the complex, as she delivers a recipe for your unique talent. Lisa's intuitive ability to ask the right question has set her apart as she engages the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 Pacific at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their life.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
And Empowerment Radio. We're talking right now to Barbara Lowe Fisher with the National Vaccine Information Center, and she's sharing her story with us about how she got involved and created the National Vaccine Information Center. So right before we went to break, Barbara was sharing her story about her son, and she said that she didn't actually even realize that there was a problem or a connection to the vaccines until she actually saw a program on TV.
Right. I saw, you know, my son had had his severe reaction. He had regressed physically, mentally, and emotionally after that shot. But the doctors never, you know, confirmed for me what had happened to him. I think a lot of doctors are not only not as well educated as they should be, but also a lot of them are in denial about the side effects of vaccines. So
oh, yeah.
When I saw that show, DPT Vaccine Roulette, which was aired in the Washington, D.C. area in the spring of 1982 and then aired nationally, and I looked at it and I saw the children on the show, the DPT injured children, were severely and profoundly either retarded or epileptic. I mean, they were really severely injured. And my son did not look like that, and my son was not as severely injured. But it was the information that was given that took me back to that night that he had had his reaction. And I called my mother after the show, and my mother had been with me when I took him to the doctor for his fourth DPT. And she was the one I called that night when he wouldn't wake up after his shot. So she knew. And she also looked at the show, which was aired several times, and she said, "You need to do something." The other thing was that I remembered when my sister and her two children had had whooping cough in Texas. She brought whooping cough into the family. She had been fully vaccinated as a child. Mm-hmm. And her three-year-old had had four DPT shots. She came down with whooping cough. She gave birth to her baby because my sister had whooping cough while she was pregnant, and her baby at 3 weeks old contracted whooping cough and had stopped breathing several times. She got her to the hospital and continued to breastfeed. They resuscitated the baby. Baby fully recovered and went on to score 1450 on the SATs and have a full academic scholarship to college. So,
wow.
You know, you couldn't have been much younger and have whooping cough, but the truth is that there are babies who die from whooping cough because it can be extremely serious for young babies. So I'm looking at this show and I'm going, you know, here my son had an issue, and I called the station. I went down to the station and I asked if I could see the medical literature that they had used to support the show. Mm-hmm. And they gave me copies of the medical literature. And since I had been a medical writer, I knew how to read the medical literature. I went home, and I will never forget reading the New England Journal of Medicine, Pediatrics, The Lancet, the British Medical Journal, and seeing descriptions, clinical descriptions, of exactly what I had witnessed my son experience after his fourth DPT shot. I was stunned because this is exactly what my son had experienced. He had experienced a post-pertussis vaccine convulsion, collapse shock, which is also known as a hypotonic hyperresponsive episode, and a state of unconsciousness because he was undergoing what was clearly a mild brain inflammation and encephalopathy. Chris eventually was diagnosed with minimal brain damage that took the form of multiple learning disabilities and attention deficit disorder. He was severely learning disabled enough that he had to be placed in a self-contained classroom for the learning disabled throughout public school, throughout high school. He barely graduated from high school. And it affected, even though he was one of the lucky ones and that he was more, if you want to look at the spectrum of vaccine injury, he was more mildly affected compared to those who are mentally retarded and epileptic and autistic, because there are children who suffer brain inflammation and become autistic.
Sure, or die.
Or die. He could have died. I really believe if I had not awakened him that night, if I had not tried so hard to wake him up like my mother, who was a nurse, told me to do, I believe that he could have died that night.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact I brought him to consciousness, even though it was only for a few minutes, I believe that interrupted what could have been a severe and profound, either he would have been left severe and profoundly affected or he would have died because he was out for so long. But so I didn't I didn't know what I was witnessing, you know?
Sure. So then what were the steps that led you to the creation of the National Vaccine Information Center from that catalyst?
Well, when I went down to the TV station and got the medical literature, and I said, can I be put in touch with other parents in the Washington, D.C. area that have also called the station? And and I was put in touch with several other parents, including Jeff Schwartz, who was an environmental lawyer and whose daughter had had a severe epileptic seizure after her shots, her DPT shots, and Kathy Williams, whose son had had a high-pitched screaming reaction and was left also with learning disabilities, not as severe as my son, but he was eventually also diagnosed learning disabled. The three of us co-founded what is known today as the the National Vaccine Information Center. And the very first thing we did was we worked with Congress because on the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, because the drug companies, there were lawsuits for DPT vaccine injury and death that were being lodged against the major drug companies producing DPT vaccine. And the drug companies went to Congress and said, we want liability protection. We don't want any more lawsuits. And Congress said, well, we need to protect the vaccine supply in this country. And they came to us and said, well, you know, we were just a young fledgling group. And they said, well, if you want to come to the table and fight for what you think the children and the family should have, great. But if you don't, we're passing this law anyway, because we're going to protect the vaccine supply in the U.S. And that's how, you know, we got involved in this major piece of legislation that was a historic piece of legislation, because for the first time, it acknowledged that vaccine injuries and deaths are real, that vaccines can cause, very serious health problems, and that there's been almost $2.5 billion that has been awarded at this point to vaccine injury victims in the United States.
Wow. So, you guys, about what year did the National Vaccine Information Center come about?
Well, our first name was Dissatisfied Parents Together, DPT, and that we co-founded in 1982. We worked for 14 years to bring a purified acellular pertussis vaccine into the U.S. called DTAP, which causes fewer serious reactions and deaths. It still can cause brain inflammation, but it appears to cause it in fewer cases. Mm-hmm. And so it's a safer vaccine, but it took us 14 years, you know, of trying to persuade the government to license the safer vaccine because it was more expensive to produce for the companies, and they really wanted to hang on to that older vaccine, the DPT vaccine. So most advanced countries today in Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, other countries do use DTAP. The wholesale DPT vaccine that hurt my son is still used in a lot of other countries, though, particularly underdeveloped countries. But so that was the first thing that we did, was get the less reactive DTAP vaccine. The other thing we did was later, I think it was in the late 1980s, we decided to become the National Vaccine Information Center because in that decade we learned that the problem was not just about DPT. The problem was that the U.S. mass vaccination system was in urgent need of safety and informed consent protections, and that remains true today because once the companies and the doctors got liability protection in the U.S., it became much easier to look the other way when these vaccine injuries and deaths occurred. So that law was kind of a double-edged sword. It, on one hand, there was official acknowledgement that vaccine injuries and deaths are real. On the other hand, the protection of these companies and doctors has resulted in more of an institutional denial on part of particularly the doctors giving vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, they were going to pass it anyway. We fought for the right for parents to to, in the beginning, to decide whether they wanted compensation, federal compensation, or they wanted to sue the companies. The U.S. Supreme Court in 2011 judged that the vaccines are unavoidably unsafe and gave the drug companies complete 100% liability protection. So anytime there is an injury or death from vaccination, you cannot go into civil court in the United States and sue a vaccine company and get discovery, which means you can look right at the documents. You basically have to go to what's now known as the vaccine court, the federal vaccine court.
When I was doing a bunch of research, I came across that. We've got to take another quick break. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Success and Empowerment Radio. When we come back, Barbara Lowe Fisher and I will continue to discuss her journey of to becoming one of the leading experts in the world on the subject of vaccinations, and we'll talk about her role in the 2011 highly acclaimed documentary film, The Greater Good. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Stiek Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
Join Lisa Kay, international business consultant and mentor, and host of the hit show Success and Empowerment, as she combines a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand and simplify the complex as she delivers a recipe for your unique talent. Lisa's intuitive ability to ask the right question has set her apart as she engages the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 Pacific at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com.
We're back on Success and Empowerment Radio. I'm speaking with Barbara Lowe Fisher about her journey to becoming one of the leading experts in the world on the subject of vaccinations. Barbara was recently played a large role, And I'm going to say that she actually starred in the 2011 highly acclaimed documentary film, The Greater Good. Tell me, Barbara, how you got involved in that film.
Well, you know, that film was produced by independent filmmakers, indie filmmakers from mm-hmm. who have been doing indie films for quite a few years, and they were interested in looking at the all sides of the vaccine debate, because definitely there is a public debate about vaccination going on right now, and they wanted to look at both sides, and they in that movie actually does feature experts on both sides of the debate.
I think they did a great job showing both sides.
Yes, they wanted to do that, because I've always been a big believer that you can't understand an issue unless you look at both sides of it. That's why my organization, National Vaccine Information Center, is not afraid to post information on our website about, you know, from the CDC, the FDA, the vaccine manufacturers, as well as independent critics of that information. We just really think that if you're going to make an informed decision, you need to look at all sides of the issue.
Right.
And so that's what they did in The Greater Good. And even though they took great pains to do that, it's come under intense criticism because they dared to present the vaccine critics side as well. Mm-hmm. And they came to me, and they knew I'd done this work for many years, and they asked me to represent, I guess, mostly the informed vaccine educated consumer, healthcare consumer, on the subject of vaccination, and that's what I tried to do in that film.
Did you think the film created the message that you were hoping it would?
I think that, you know, my message has been that you need to become an informed healthcare consumer, that you need to understand the risks and complications of infectious diseases and the risks and complications of vaccines. You need to understand your personal and family medical history and what if you may be at greater risk than others for having a vaccine reaction or at greater risk of suffering a complication from a disease, and then be able to freely make an informed voluntary decision. And I feel that they did communicate the issue of informed consent. Informed consent to medical risk-taking is an ethical principle that has governed the practice of medicine since World War II. That is, you have the human right to be fully informed about the risks and benefits of a medical intervention, and certainly a pharmaceutical product is a medical intervention. Vaccines are pharmaceutical products. So you should be able to make a voluntary decision about whether you or your child is going to take the risk mm-hmm. with that product. And I do believe that film did accurately communicate that position. And they also accurately communicated the position of those who do not believe that people should have the right to informed consent to vaccination. People who advocate that everyone should be vaccinated regardless. And my argument has always been that, you know, because there is genetic and biological susceptibility, vulnerability to having reactions to vaccines, just like there is a genetic and biological susceptibility to having a severe reaction to a prescription drug,
right?
That to have a state-endorsed policy that forces the genetically vulnerable to put their lives or their children's lives on the line for a public health policy that carries that kind of risk, that really is immoral. That you cannot support that kind of a state-enforced policy when everyone is not sharing the risk equally. Now, this idea that forced vaccination proponents do advocate is based on this greater good utilitarian rationale, which is why the movie is called The Greater Good.
Right.
It really compels people to examine the issue of utilitarianism and whether some people can be sacrificed for the rest. And this is why I've always said it's immoral to have that kind of state policy. Again, not everyone is sharing equally in the vaccine risks because some are more vulnerable. So I just don't think ethically that government should be involved in forced risk-taking, particularly when some are more vulnerable than the rest to being injured or dying from the procedure.
one, I think the interesting thing or the valuable thing that it pointed out was that the one of the critical things that you do is educate yourself about your own children's health issue and then the impact that the vaccines could possibly have on your individual child. And even if you've got three different children, it could affect each of them differently because, as the film illustrated, that if one of your children has an allergy to one of the ingredients inside of the vaccines, that they can actually have an acute reaction and die almost immediately. Just like the
right.
the allergy to peanuts. What is that called again?
Anaphylactic
shock.
Anaphylactic
right.
shock, right.
Right, right, right. To have an acute reaction.
And that happens usually, an anaphylactic shock reaction usually happens within a half hour to an hour of vaccination. It's usually temporally associated, time associated with the administration of the vaccine. Whereas my son's reaction, it took around 4 hours for his reaction to start when I saw the convulsion, what I now know is a convulsion, a collapse shock and the state of unconsciousness. So, you know, there are different kinds of reactions and manifestation of symptoms that manifest reactions depending upon the vaccine or combination of vaccines that a person is given, and again, depending upon the personal history, medical history, family history. So the health at the time of vaccination can also be a cofactor. Whether the child or the individual is also exposed to other environmental toxins, such as has the lawn been sprayed that day with pesticides or... I mean, there's so many cofactors that can go into creating that perfect storm for a child or an adult to react to a vaccine. So the one-size-fits-all approach to vaccine policy and certainly to implementation of vaccine laws like we have in the United States, which are becoming more and more oppressive. I mean, right now the National Vaccine Information Center is fighting to protect the religious and conscientious belief exemption of vaccination in this country. Even the medical exemption is under attack. The goal is 100% vaccination rate in America, where there will be no exemptions, except for very, very tiny, narrowly defined medical exemptions. So my son would not necessarily be exempted from further vaccination. And right. you know, the thing in my family, we know we're vulnerable. I continue to give my other children. I had two more children. I was not anti-vaccine. Mm-hmm. I continue to vaccinate with other vaccines besides pertussis. So I knew I couldn't give them pertussis. But when my second son, when he was three, I gave him a DT, a diphtheria tetanus without the P part, without the pertussis vaccine, and oral polio vaccination, he developed a pseudotumor of the brain, which within weeks of that vaccination, which means the pressure in his brain rose, and his eyes started to cross, and he started to stumble around, and he couldn't walk straight, and he would sleep for long periods of time, and they diagnosed a pseudotumor of the brain and had to give him medication for glaucoma to bring the pressure in the brain down. And I knew at that point that, you know, my children were particularly vulnerable. Now, what does the state have the right to force me to put my children's life on the line for vaccines that I know could injure or kill them? My
Absolutely.
Second son, fortunately, completely recovered. He went on to be an honor roll student. He has a master's degree. He actually works in government. But I just really believe it is a human right mm-hmm. to be able to make an informed choice about medical interventions like pharmaceutical products that can injure or kill people.
Well, especially when you consider the idea that the government is trying to implement the fact that we have no choice at all, regardless of what we know as educated parents and consumers about the individual health of our children. I mean, it seems like to me that it's taking away a constitutional right.
I totally agree with you. A civil right, a
yeah.
human right,
right,
a moral right as parents. I mean, mothers, you know, we're supposed to nurture and protect our children so that they survive into adulthood. That's a big job we have.
Right.
And to take that right away from us, our parental right away, our legal rights away, is just wrong.
I think that this film, we're getting ready to take another break, but this film, I want to recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen it and anybody who wants to start their education process or continue their education process around vaccinations, whether you agree with them or don't agree with them. The website for the film is www.greatergoodmovie.org, and you can buy the movie, make contributions to the movie, but they do a really good job of presenting both sides of the debate of whether or not the pros for getting vaccinated, and of course they show you several stories about the cons of the downside of being vaccinated. This is Lisa Kay with Success and Empowerment Radio. We're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we'll continue to talk with Barbara Lowe Fisher with the National Vaccine Information Center. Stay tuned.
Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment as you listen to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate With Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camino Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camino Island Coffee Roasters.
Join Lisa Kay, international business consultant and mentor, and host of the hit show Success and Empowerment, as she combines a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand and simplify the complex, as she delivers a recipe for your unique talent. Lisa's intuitive ability to ask the right question has set her apart, as she engages the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 Pacific at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Success and Empowerment Radio with Lisa Kay. I'm talking with the president and co-founder of the National Vaccine Information Center, Barbara Lowe Fisher, about discovering her voice and becoming a global expert on vaccination information. Barbara, your website is so full of so much valuable information, and I think it's interesting that at the very beginning of the show, you said back when you went through this with your son that in 1978, there was hardly any information available, and I think it's extraordinary that today, 34 years later, in the age of the internet and websites and just like information overload, that there's still so many parents who are uninformed about the risks associated or the value even associated with vaccinations. Could you give us some steps that people can take as far as just beginning their education process around vaccinations?
Well, you're absolutely right. There is so much information now because of the internet, the communications, the electronic communications revolution. Back when I was doing this work, if I wanted to research vaccines and diseases, I had to go to the Library of Medicine or a hospital medical library or try to find a book, and there really weren't any books that weren't available. Most of them were only available to doctors. So now you can go on the internet. The Library of the World is on the internet. It's incredible. You can search the medical literature, which is an amazing feat. And you can also, on National Vaccine Information Center's website, nvic.org, we make it easy for you to access the information you need to make an informed vaccine choice. We have information on all 16 recommended vaccines and the infectious diseases that they're designed to protect against. We have state vaccine law information in the vaccine laws of the United States. We also have a downloadable brochure such as Ask 8 Questions. If you vaccinate, Ask 8 Questions that can very quickly give you an overview. We have a vaccine ingredient calculator where you can enter the vaccines your doctor is recommending and see what kind of ingredients are in those vaccines and the total load. You can search a vaccine reaction database, the Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and see what kinds of reports of vaccine reactions have been reported to the government. We have a vaccine freedom wall where if you have suffered harassment for making an informed vaccine choice, you can post your story online. There's just so much on our website. It's all free. It's a public service, our public service, and I encourage everyone to become informed, because at the end of the day, the decision you make, whether you choose to use every vaccine on the schedule your doctor recommends, whether you choose to use a few vaccines, or you make the choice that your child, you are not going to vaccinate, you need to be fully informed, because the decision you make is an important decision, and you are the one that's going to have to live with that, the consequences of that decision.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's, like you said, educating yourself is the path to empowerment, and making sure that you make an informed decision so that regardless of the consequences of whether or not, like your sister who contracted the disease, her child got the disease and had a full recovery, or you decide to go with the immunizations or not. I mean, I can't emphasize enough the whole the value of becoming educated. So with your role with the NVIC, what are your goals for the future here? What is your guys' vision for what you're hoping to continue to create?
Well, our mission has always been to prevent vaccine injuries and deaths through public education, and to defend the informed consent ethic when it comes to vaccine decision making, and that will continue to be our goal. Right now, as I said before, we are facing a tremendous challenge in the United States to vaccine exemptions. The goal of the vaccine policymakers, the drug companies, the medical trade associations, is to take all vaccine exemptions away so that almost 100% vaccination rate is achieved. In our country, we use more vaccines and mandate more vaccines than any other country in the world.
I was going to actually ask you about that as well, where we ranked in the world as far as other countries.
Well, our government recommends 69 doses of 16 vaccines between day of birth and age 18, and many of those vaccines are already mandated. Something that people need to be aware of, in the last 30 years, as we've tripled the numbers of vaccinations that children get, we've also seen a tripling of the numbers of children who are suffering with chronic brain and immune system dysfunction. One in six child in America is learning disabled, one in nine has ADHD, one in nine has asthma, one in 88 is diagnosed with autism, and one in 450 develops diabetes. So we have a lot of children that are chronically ill and disabled, and there's a big question mark, why is this happening? I'm not saying that vaccines are totally to blame for all of this. I think there's other issues, substandard nutrition, certainly other environmental toxins, but I think you can't leave the tripling in the numbers of doses of vaccinations in the last 30 years off the table when you're looking at this. And we need more science. We need investigation. But when you have a very wealthy and powerful lobby that is lobbying against the science that would actually answer these questions about vaccination and health, long-term health, you have a lot of disincentive on the part of health authorities to really commit the dollars to doing the science.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are a nonprofit organization. And so if somebody wanted to contribute or support the NVIC, they can just go to your website.
Yes, we're a charity. We're a small nonprofit. We do what we can with the resources we have, but we're always grateful for donations. Go on to NVIC.org. That's National Vaccine Information Center. Any donation, big or small, is welcomed, and our educational and advocacy programs, we hope to continue. We've been here for 30 years. We certainly hope that we'll be able to be here for 30 more defending this very important right to make vaccine choices.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Barbara, for coming on my show and sharing such valuable information, and for your extraordinary contribution and dedication to the humanity and all parents about the value and importance of educating and empowering yourself around the topic of vaccinations. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Success and Empowerment Radio. I had a great time sharing Barbara's message. Please join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Success and Empowerment Radio as we discuss topics to educate, empower, and inspire your wealth consciousness. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next time. Thank you.
You've been listening to a transformative hour of Success and Empowerment Radio with Lisa Kay. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and take your personal and professional life to a new level by shattering obstacles and clearing the path for unparalleled success. Each week, Lisa Kay inspires individuals to understand their true magnificence and live the life of their dreams. This international business consultant, fantastic mother, and mentor is ready to assist you to step into your true power. To schedule your life-changing session with Lisa, call 206-228-6398 and find out more about her show at lisakconsulting.com.
Some talk radio networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low, without regard for another's journey. They focus on the problem and not the solution. Other networks tune in to the highest vibration possible to help us live life full out.
I'm Chris Stanis.
To help us stand in our yes.
I'm Sue London.
And cultivate a platform for positive change.
I'm Karen Hager.
These networks don't come often.
I'm CJ Liu.
But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve anything that is possible. To help ourselves to help others, and to help the planet.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned with bombarding us with bad news.
And they hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned with sensationalizing an individual's setbacks or challenges.
Powerful, inspiring.
These networks focus on amazing, innovative broadcasting.
You can learn a lot.
They provide a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent educational information.
Everyone's a team player.
These networks are tailored for an empowered, active, and diverse radio listening audience.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
They help us rise up.
True empowerment.
Create a strong foundation so we can stand powerfully in our yes.
Epic social change.
They invite us to thrive, appreciate our lives, and create the amazement we call ourselves.
The urge to grow.
These innovative networks remind us that everything is possible.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
That nothing is limited. That our lives are much more than anything our minds would have us to believe.
Let us inspire you.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives and live in the moment of every breath we take. Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Won't you join Transformation Talk Radio? And let's change the world together. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world.
Transformation Talk Radio.